April 30th is the feast of Saint Catherine of Siena, a virgin of the church, and one of the most amazing mystics and gifts to the church that God has given it in its 2,000 years. She was conformed to Christ in extremely beautiful ways, as we will see taking a look at her life. She was born to what has to be one of the most startlingly large families in the history of the world for two people. I believe her parents had 25 children, something like that. That's a large family. You need two vans, not just one. But, of course, in her day, the vans were not necessary. That being several hundred years ago now, 12, 1300s, I can't remember exactly. It was she who turned the world upside down with her mysticism. She astounded the popes. She amazed her fellow citizens in Siena. And this was already when she was still young. Already she was amazing. She was very lively, engaging, pretty to look at. Such a vivacious personality that her relatives would make up reasons to have her have to run an errand to come to their home for some reason, because they just loved to see her. So she was a real attractor of people, a talker, someone who won your heart quickly. And also at the same time, she was a deep prayer, praying always. Deep, deep prayer. In a house of 25, you can imagine things were just a little crowded. She had, for her special little prayer room, her little abode, a sort of closet, hardly more than a closet. I believe it was under the staircase. That's where she hid herself away a good part of the day and was allowed to pray. As always, when one of the children is a little bit different and has special needs in a very large family, the dad found that pretty hard to deal with sometimes, but God got her through those trials. She became a third order Dominican. And by her austerity, her strict life of penance, she amazed people. And so was that there were certain times that you could not doubt that you were in the presence of a person that was supernaturally gifted in a way that was extremely rare. And so it was that those intuitions of people and those things people saw in her were not wrong. It was a little difficult to exaggerate the goodness of St. Catherine of Siena, because just about whatever you would say would still fall short. Just to give you an example, she received Holy Communion once when she was in Pisa. And having received Holy Communion, she was wrapped in ecstasy, showing already a very advanced spiritual state. And in that ecstasy, she saw rays of light coming from the crucified Lord, which were red, five rays. And she knew what the five rays were, coming from his wounds towards her hands and her feet and her side. And she understood that she was going to receive the stigmata, and she prayed to the Lord that the stigmata would not be visible. What humility. And she saw the rays change from red to bright light, but they still hit her and caused her incredible pain. So she had what we call the invisible stigmata. Sometimes the saints will receive first the invisible stigmata and later visible, as happened with St. Padre Pio. But in this case, she received the invisible at her choice, and they stayed that way. But the pain was so enormous that she said if the Lord hadn't eventually lessened that pain. She thought she would have died from it. She was someone with great stores of knowledge. But as the Matins reading points out, her knowledge was not from learning. It was infused by God. That too is an extremely rare gift. Some of the saints have infused knowledge, sometimes, in certain areas. A much smaller category of saints have a great deal of infused knowledge. St. Catherine was one of those. Marvelous prophetic gifts. And she used those prophetic gifts for the service of God. An example given in the Matins reading. She went to see Pope Gregory XI. Such was her importance that she could ask to see the Pope, and she would be allowed to see the Pope. She went to Avignon. The popes had lived at Avignon a very long time, Pope after Pope, staying there because things in the Papal States, including Rome, were so completely in turmoil, they were so dangerous, the popes didn't dare go back to their own city. And she said to him privately, "Your Holiness, I know what it is that you promised God you would do if you were elected Pope." This was during the conclave. "You promised God that you, if you were elected Pope, would return to Rome." Well, that really stunned the Pope, because Gregory XI had not told anyone about that. Nobody knew but Gregory XI. And somehow, Catherine. And he understood that the message she was giving him was from God, that he was to return to Rome, which he did for a time. And that's another story. We'll leave it aside. She went on in the church right into the time of the Great Western Schism. She fought against the Great Western Schism with everything she had. I just remembered another example of her wonderful knowledge that she had from God. And we know that sometimes the saints would experience a very beautiful smell if they're around someone who's spiritually pure and holy, or a very unpleasant smell if they're around someone who isn't. She said to one of the popes, it may have been Pope Gregory XI, and she was talking about the Vatican and the people at it would have been Avignon, I believe. She said, "The papal court stinks like hell." Now, if you or I said that, we would have meant it as a kind of expression. You know, it really stinks. She meant, it has the stench of hell. The souls of the people that are here are so corrupt that it actually smells the way hell smells. It's one of the most amazing statements made by a saint in the history of the church. The papal court stinks like hell. Well, there you go. Imagine what she suffered when she went to see the Pope, and she had awareness of all these different spiritual conditions. She wrote marvelous letters to the popes, powerful letters, burning letters, just spiritually on fire, trying to encourage them to be true leaders of the church, not to try and come back into the Papal States with armies and strategies, because God would not bless that, but to come, she said, in peace, carrying a cross. And she would never be able to persuade popes to do that. And she would tell them, "It looks like things are going your way now, but you watch." And her prophecies were so accurate. Compared to St. Bridget of Sweden, another great holy woman who lived in Rome and had the gift of prophecy, sometimes Bridget of Sweden was right on the money, and sometimes it seems to have come out of her own mind, and so she would be inaccurate. Catherine of Siena, for some reason, never got carried away by her own imagination or her own whatever it was that sometimes captured St. Bridget of Sweden and made her wrong in her prophecies. Catherine was accurate, 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 which was why she was deeply respected and feared. And as much as she knew the popes were sometimes sinful, weak, she would say things in her letters like, "Dear sweet Jesus on earth." That's what she called the Pope. And she was always invoking the blood of Christ. If you have extra time, if you're sheltered in, and you're looking around saying, the internet's getting really old, and it's not really improving my spiritual life, get instead the dialogue of St. Catherine of Siena, which she wrote as dictation, more or less, from God. She wrote it in just a matter of some weeks. And you'll probably not be able to get a hold of the full-length version because she was a very verbose person herself. And when she wrote things down, she wrote in many words. Just one example, an extract from that book. Christ was speaking to her about how he had, by what he did in establishing the church and dying for mankind and so on, had built a bridge, that great bridge of salvation, that is there to take man over the abyss and so on. And then he said, but it is necessary that you walk on it. Right, every bridge gets you, say, across the chasm. But it's not enough that the chasm has a bridge. You must walk on the bridge. And she used imagery constantly throughout that work, and how much of it was word for word from the Lord, and how much was the natural wordiness of St. Catherine of Siena working itself out to explain the revelations she was receiving, I don't know. But that book is just full of beautiful spiritual teaching. And as she wrote, so she spoke. And to give you a very funny example of St. Catherine of Siena at her best, her wordy but very sincere and extremely holy best. One day she was speaking to St. Raymond of Capua, who was her confessor. And St. Raymond of Capua was tired. He probably had been up late doing things she wanted done and then up early doing other things she needed done and saying Mass and doing all sorts of things. And as she was speaking to him and speaking to him and speaking to him and speaking to him about the spiritual life, he fell asleep. And she said, "Am I speaking to you or am I speaking to the wall?" He woke up. She went on talking. St. Catherine of Siena, a will of just fire, because she was in fire with the love of God. And she spent herself enormously in a very short life, fighting for the church, trying to reunify the church, trying to heal the Great Western Schism, which she failed to do, trying to get the popes back to Rome before that part, always trying, always working. And she, in spite of her failure to get the popes to do what she wanted them to do most of the time, she converted a great many people and had a real impact on the Catholic Church through her wonderful love of God and her burning letters, which are a marvel that we still have, and tell us what kind of woman she was. Just as she was conformed to Christ with the wounds of Christ, the invisible stigmata, so also Christ chose to end her life in a way that would show she was like Christ, even though she was a woman. And he brought her life to an end, just as he brought his life to an end at age 33.